right, y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is one of your hosts, Mr. David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark Inc., marketing specialist. You can find me all over the place doing many different things in the entertainment field and weddings and all types of stuff. So if you need me, I'm there for you. And I'm also just a regular good guy. I'm introducing my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. He's hanging out with me today. What's going on, sir?
Sir, just so you know, I actually hang out every day, but yes. Yep, this is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guy, DelawareBlack.com, black media specialist and all-around good guy. How's it going, Dave?
Hey, man, it's going. It's our world, man. We're still walking around trying to find these nuts that are supposed to be good for us out here, you know?
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. The ones that have some money attached to them.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to find, you know. Unfortunately, you know, I think all the nuts that we keep finding have been cracked open already.
It's like finding those oysters, trying to look for like a pearl inside.
Yeah, like my man with the, what was the purple pearl that guy found? Remember? Did you see that article? He was eating oysters and there was a rare purple pearl.
Oh, you know, I did hear about that one.
Yeah. So I wouldn't have that kind of luck, you know. So,
well, I mean, maybe you do oysters.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, then, yeah. Then you're right. You're definitely not gonna have that type of luck.
Do you do oysters?
I've done them. It's definitely not something desired.
Yeah, I just don't get why. I don't know why people like those things.
Now, we'll say I'd rather do mussels than oysters, but I mean,
big difference.
So, and I'm sure one of our viewers will probably correct us. So mussels a lot of time are like flavored and you can actually like chew them.
Mm-hmm.
The times that I've had oysters or seen other people do oysters, they usually put something on the oyster. Like, I mean, I feel like it might have been like hot sauce or some type of sauce, and they kind of swallow it all in all. So I don't think they really chew oysters. I think oysters are a little grittier.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, don't hold me to it. I could be wrong because it's definitely been a minute.
It's definitely not anything I want to find out about. So you can have all of that. Yeah. So, but other than that, everything else is all right.
Yeah, you know, everything was good. Kind of like we were talking, I went to Wilmington, had their and I'm going to pronounce it like it looks, Dinner en Blanc, which is, you know, the white dinner that is kind of a franchise around the world and very nice. Kind of like we talked about, probably about 3,000 people out there, majority black. So, I mean, it was a nice look. Congrats to, you know, the organizers.
Yeah, that's become a really big thing. I mean, I know it was last year. Was at Rodney Square, right?
So I'm not sure. This is my first year going, and I think all the other years since I knew I wasn't going, I didn't pay enough attention to see where it was. But I think you're right, because I think I remember seeing the pictures there.
Right, and no way they could have got 3,000 people at Rodney Square.
Yeah, they would have had them packed in like sardines.
Yeah. So I saw a lot of pictures from the event. I didn't go myself because I'm not Leonard. So I didn't go myself. But Leonard, you know, from the pictures I saw and everything, looked like everybody was having a great time. I saw some videos and I also heard, you know, from Patty Jackson on WDAS radio, she said that Delaware does it the best out of anybody, you know, that she's seen so far. Okay. And she happened to be one of the hosts here at the one here. So everybody looked good, you know. I just know from just me, myself, I can't wear white. I never could.
What, and, no, why you say that?
Because as soon as I put it on, I breathe on it. It's dirty. It's a rat. You know? And I can't eat in white. You know, it's just like food automatically just knows, Dave.
God, right.
We're going to put something on you. You know, I don't see how people do it and not get anything on them. But it was a perfect weather day for it. I mean, you know, it wasn't too hot. It was a nice little breeze blowing, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, the weather was perfect. You know, so I mean, it was definitely an ideal night for it.
And they had it at the, for those who are familiar with the area, they had it at the old reservoir up in Wilmington on the hill there. It's called Cool Springs Reservoir Park now. Really, it was a good look. They really fixed it up nice up there from what I could see. Yeah. So, and it was big enough to hold everybody. That was the main thing, right?
Yeah. And I mean, they actually had additional space where, you know, they probably could have done another 1,000 people. So, I mean, they're definitely, even though one thing that I did hear is that they can only have it at a venue one time. So, you know, even though there was more space, apparently, I guess, per how it usually works, is that they will not be going back there.
Yeah, I wonder where the next spot would be. Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking Brandywine Park, you know, somewhere in that area.
I think they've done that before.
Oh, have they? Okay.
I think so. I think they have done Brandywine Park, if I'm not mistaken. Then I could be wrong, but it just seemed to me, I think I heard that they did that, but I don't know. It's a big event, and it's a great event, and I'm glad to see that, you know, everybody had a good time, and there was no issues, and, you know, it was just a grand time. So I'm sure everybody's already planning for next year already. So, okay. All right. Well, I guess we can go ahead and get started on tonight's show. I'm going to start out with saying, maybe we should talk about our contest here before we get too deep. We kind of teased the contest that we want to do. Our anniversary is coming up of the show. Our first year anniversary is coming up in November. And so we wanted to challenge people who are regular listeners to be involved in our contest to come on the show and host a show with us on our anniversary show. And the way that you can do this is to write in a send us, you can put it on, you can send it to us directly or put it on our social media pages. Of course, we have the News and Trend podcast. I can't even talk right now. The News and Trend podcast page on, we have it on Facebook, and we also have it on our Instagram page, or you can reach out to me and Len personally and say why you like listening to the show and why you feel you should be able to host the show with us on our anniversary show, which was going to be on November 8th, if I'm not mistaken, right, Lynn?
Yeah, I think that's it.
November 8th is when we're doing our anniversary show. So our first year, for our first year of doing the show. So, so for those that are interested, and we don't care where you are, you can be across the country. Like, you know, we got listeners all over the country right now. It doesn't matter where you are. If we if we take a look at your letter or your statement that you send in.
Well, no, Dave, you remember they're supposed to do a video, a testimonial video.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna make it tough for you. We want to know who you are, so we're gonna make you do a testimonial video and send it to us. You can reach, like I said, you can send it to our pages or. If you have our personal, know how to get a hold of us personally, you can send it to us that way. Should we get, what about the email? Should we?
No, because you know sometimes videos, and I'll probably say either I'll probably just say DM or put it on our Facebook page.
If you are friends with us on Messenger, I mean on Facebook, you can use the Messenger to also reach out to us as well. Okay. So that would be a video testimony saying why you should be the host or co-host for that particular day, for that program. And we will make our decision as who it will be and bring you on. Okay. So we look forward to that. I hope you do too. All right. We're going to get started with the show. First of all, I want to bring up it's football time again. So, usually during the season, Len's not that much of a football fan, people. So, I got to talk about this stuff myself. I need to get somebody on here that talks football with me. Maybe have a little spot on here with me, during football season. But I want to shout out my Eagles who have started 2-0. And by the way, for you guys that are Cowboy fans or, rep some other team, that's nice. But I talk about the Eagles. So the Eagles are 2-0 after winning last night 24-7. Shout out Mr. Jalen Hurts had a big game. They're actually getting ready to play Washington, the Washington Commanders next, with their old quarterback playing for them now, Mr. Carson Wentz. So that's next weekend or this weekend coming. So look forward to that game. It should be a good game. And we'll be shouting out EAGLES after that game as well. So way to go, Eagles. And I'm going to also give a shout out to my girl, Miss Asia Wilson. For those of you who know me that saw a post that I put out on Facebook about this young lady, her team just won the WNBA championship a couple days ago, Las Vegas Aces. The first championship a Los Angeles, I mean, a Las Vegas team, a Nevada team has ever won professional championships. So it's, I just wanted to give a shout out to her. She's had a hell of a year, people. She in the last year, she has won an Olympic gold medal. She was named the MVP of the league of the WNBA. She was named the best defensive player in the WNBA. She was named first team all of WNBA. All first team defensive WNBA. And she just won a championship. You can't ask for a better year than that. All in one year, she's done this. And this is her second MVP in the last 4 years. So shout out to Miss Asia Wilson, the only female college athlete who had a statue erected in her honor right after she graduated, as she was graduating from the University of South Carolina. That's how big of an impact this young lady has had on sports and for not only her school, but for Black women in general. So shout out and kudos to her. Okay. So that's my little sports moment there. And all right. So we're going to go ahead and get into our topics. And go ahead, Leonard. Let's go with the first one.
Yep. So, Dave, I'm not sure you heard this. So the first topic is on a young lady named Megan Pipis Peace, and she is the first Black puppeteer to be on Sesame Street. So she officially started in September 2021, so right about a year ago, and she voices the character of Gabrielle, who is a 6-year-old kind of Black girl puppet. So, I just kind of want to bring attention to this. And, especially with a lot of the controversy with Sesame Street ignoring the little Black girl, and then just a couple additional videos of Sesame or costume behavior. I just want to draw attention to that because she has not gotten, I think the press that she probably deserves. And then I think with the whole Sesame Street fiasco, you know, a lot of people have written off Sesame Street, the show, and, you know, and the amusement parks as well. And looking on social media, one thing someone said is like, oh, you know, I thought, you know, there was a Black person who was Elmo. And they are correct. There was a Black person who was the voice of Elmo, but she is the first Black puppeteer ever for Sesame Street. And basically what that means is she basically is a ventriloquist. So, you know, she, and for anyone who doesn't know what that means, you know, she's moving her lips so slightly that you think the puppet is talking. So, you know, I just want to kind of give some recognition to her. And she is the first in 53 years on Sesame Street. There has been no other Black person except for her.
Wow. That's a big accomplishment, is considering, you know, Sesame Street's been on so long. I know I go back to the days there was a Black puppet on there named Roosevelt Franklin.
Oh, you know that. That does sound familiar.
Roosevelt Franklin? Mm-hmm. He used to come on and say, "My name is Roosevelt Franklin." Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember that?
Well, yeah. Dave, hold on. Sing it one more time. Let me see if it rings a bell.
You only get that once. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and he was on this show for a couple seasons, and he was too Black, and they took him off.
Are you serious?
Yes, it was a big controversy. You never seen the doc? There's a documentary about Sesame Street that's been on, that started showing on TV for the last couple months, and it's really interesting because they cover that piece in there, and he was a very popular character, whatever. But they thought he was a little too ethnic, and they were pressured to take him off. The white audience didn't pressure the station to take him off, even though he was one of the most popular characters on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dave, that's so funny that a puppet is too Black, and instead of making him less Black, they kick him off. Like, I mean, isn't that a little crazy?
Yeah, well, they fell victim to the peer pressure to do that. For sure. And
it really was probably the executives and the dollars and, you know, the people pulling strings above.
It's all about money. You know, they want to keep the viewership and keep the numbers right. And even though, like I said, everybody loved Roosevelt Franklin, man, he was the man. But hey, you know, when they start talking, then you got to start hopping. You know what I'm saying? You know,
so, right.
But I'm glad for this young lady because, you know, that means that they are opening up their minds and allowing people, you know, to come to the 21st century and you know, because now I hope they're not folding, they're not doing this because of all the backlash that they've taken.
Well, no, so she started a year ago. She auditioned in September.
But they've had backlash for a while. That's not you know, they've had other incidents, you know, you know, so. Even though she might be, been around for a year, that doesn't mean that they didn't fold to the pressure of making sure that they had diversity in their crew, you know? Right. So,
especially after George Floyd, numerous organizations and companies tried to, spearhead some criticism by doing more for minorities.
Right. Yeah. It's the world we live in today, man. It's just so many, you know, you think that we are doing well because of all that we've accomplished, you know, and so forth. But there's just still a lot of issues out there, man, and a lot of small-minded people. I'm glad that Disney has done this. And I mean, Disney, Sesame Street, I should say. I guess that was a Freudian slip because Disney needs to be stepping up their game. I know they we got all the controversy around the Little Mermaid movie that's about to come out, you know, because of their choice to put a Black mermaid out there. So, but people are getting progressive in the way of thinking, and just like companies like Sesame Street and Disney, it's a good thing that they have.
Right.
Yeah. So, but the kudos, Miss Megan Pipus Peace. That's a name and a half, there.
Ain't it? Ha ha. Yeah. Woo. Tongue twister.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Speaking of diversity and women of color and so forth. Shout outs to the women, the Woman King. Actually did very well at the box office. Held his own at the box office, making, I think it was over $19 million over the weekend. A lot of great press. You know, a lot of people that went to see it said it was a very powerful movie. And you haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I have not. Have you seen it?
No, not yet. Not yet. It is something I do want to see. Said it was very powerful. They said that Viola Davis really played that part. Matter of fact, they said she was really good in it. Let me see. Do you have the Rotten Tomatoes? I wanted to always check Rotten Tomatoes to see what they say about it. Let's see what the Rotten Tomatoes score is. Right there, you see it.
So 95. I guess 95%.
Yeah. Wait. Can you open that up? Because I want to see what the score was. We're looking at the Rotten Tomato. So, let's see. Move over to there. Yeah, that's okay. What I want to see. No, to the right. Move over. I want to see that score right under the picture. I can't see it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's a 95. The tomato meter is 95%. Audience score 99%.
Yeah. So hey, you can't get better than that. And it has the popcorn standing up, right?
So yeah, popcorn standing up.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world. Because if it's on the side, that means it's no good, you know. So it's getting good marks everywhere. But why is it every time we have a good black movie, there's always some controversy around it? So that's why we're talking about it today. Well, no, not exclusively why. It's a good movie from what I've heard, and everybody I've known that gone to see it, seen it. I've had about 3 or 4 people tell me how great of a movie it is.
Right. Same here.
But the thing is that it's had a lot of controversy because Twitter and also Black Twitter, you know, Black Twitter always amazes me, by the way. The way the movie was made, of course, you know, it's another one of these Hollywood film depictions of how something that truly happened. But they talked about this particular tribe of women, which was called the African Duhomey women, soldiers of Benin. They said that the issue is, according to history, their main source of economics was slave trading in the transatlantic slave trade and palm oil. And they said which likely was produced by the slaves they held captive. So the controversy is coming around this film because they're saying that it wasn't really addressed in the film about what really went on back during that time. You know, and Hollywood chose to go the route that it did in order to make the dollars that they can from the movie. But of course, you know, people that didn't went out and did their history and did the research, was able to say, hey, look, these people practice slave trading, you know, and that Hollywood is definitely glamorizing what really happened. I know there were some comments that I saw on Twitter. It said, you know, there was a couple comments. It says, time to boycott the Woman King. The film is about the Duhamel and Benin tribes that traded slaves into the transatlantic. And then there was another comment, boycott Woman King. According to the clip, the Duhamel tribe sold close to a million slaves. According to the interviewers, the interview, the tribe was well aware of the severity of the trade and therefore opted or preferred to trade people of different tribes versus those within the tribe. There was another comment, 28% of the slaves that went to the Americas were traded through the Duhamel tribes. So apparently the movie doesn't really talk about all the slave trading, and this is what has people concerned, because they said that, you know, Hollywood, once again, they're saying that Hollywood and the executives took a story but only chose to tell part of it. What's your views on that?
You know, I think it's kind of a toss up. So one is, if this movie, which I believe is not, is supposed to be historical, then I can kind of understand how people feel it's leaving out, you know, different bits and pieces. If this movie is purely for entertainment, loosely based on, you know, that tribe, you know, then I feel a little bit different. You know, of course, Dave, you and I, you know, we are familiar just being Black people. You know, all our lives we've heard about us being slaves at some point and, you know, basically being trafficked to America. So, I mean, we're all familiar with that story. And I personally, I'm okay knowing that this is entertainment loosely based off of, you know, an actual tribe. And I don't take it personal. I feel like if I want to know more about this story, because this story is for entertainment purposes only, then, you know, I can go do my research on my own. And I mean, I don't think that stops somebody at a later time from putting out like a real, you know, documentary or, you know, story or movie regarding what happened. But, you know, to be honest, like, I consider this entertainment and I'm not looking for the facts. I'm looking to be entertained on this one. And if I'm looking for the facts, I can go, you know, research it on my own.
Let me ask you a question, and I get everything that you're saying. Do you think any of this, what it came out of this movie, was a bomb or a stinker, and, you know, it didn't do well at the box office, and, you know, didn't make the money that it did? Do you think we even be having this conversation?
Yeah, I do, because they were talking about this even before the movie came out. So, I mean, the movie just came out this weekend. I've been hearing about this at least when the first trailers came out. You know, I heard people talking about it. And it's so crazy because I'm like, you know, before I knew the backstory to it, you know, I was thinking, okay, how are Black people hating on a Black movie before it even comes out? You know, so.
Okay. So you don't think that the hype got heightened because the movie did so well?
No, not really. And so I do want to say something real quick. So I did see that this movie is directed by a Black woman, Gina Price Blythewood. And, you know, the money that they made this box office weekend makes her the second Black woman ever to have a number one box office debut and a A+ cinema score. So, you know, I do want to give credit to that as well.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, right, Dave, what was your question? I wanted to throw that in before I forgot, but I did want to answer the question you just had too.
Well, I was just saying.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I remember. So I do think it was a hit movie, but, you know, I also think it fell on a slow weekend too, because it's not normally we hear about number one box office movies opening weekend. that are only doing 19 million as well. So, you know, I think the timing of this movie just happened to be in a great place. Cause you know, I feel like usually for the other movies, I hear like 50, 60, 70,000. What about you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. But look, you know, I mean, Marvel movies never open for less than 100 million.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure.
You know, and you know, guys, look with what you call him, Tom Cruise movie did. Why can't I think of the name of it? The movie that Top he Gun. Did Top Gun. Look how much they did over $1 billion. You know, so I mean, no, it's not unusual. But then one thing I've always noticed when we have a movie like this, or like a Black Panther, or I remember when American Gangster came out, the same thing happened with Denzel Washington because it was based on a true story. Mm-hmm. They started talking about how the Hollywood had taken the story and made it into a better story than it really was.
Right.
And, you know, because the guy who played the cop and the lawyer, you know, him and Frank Lucas had become like allies and friends, you know, but he talked about in interviews how Frank, they made Frank look like he was this real cool guy. And he said Frank was far from that. He said, you know, Denzel chose to play him a certain way, made him articulate, made him like, you know, have a little bit of a heart and whatever. And he said Frank was nothing like that, you know. And, you know, but that was Hollywood taking liberties with us and our stories to make it sell.
Right.
And what they've done with, you know, movies like Black Panther, you know, I mean, you know, look, Black Panther made more money than any other Marvel movie at the time. So they had to go out and make a movie. They said, okay, we're going to go out here and make some movies that we got to top that movie. You know what I mean? So, so it is what it is.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd like to say too is, I think it's almost an expectation of when I saw the previews, to be honest, I see this as a Black movie, and I say a Black movie in terms of I would guess 90% of the people seeing this movie are going to be Black people. So, right. You know, with that said, you know, that 19 million, I mean, I think that was a great number, you know, for what it was. And, you know, if people want to go with the historical perspective, you know how much I hear people say they're tired of slave movies, they're tired of racist movie, like, you know, so it's like, okay, if they had made this an actual storyline, there would have been a large group of Black people who are just tired of seeing this type of movie, Black drama, or and I forget, it has a name to it, but you know, so it's almost like you can't win either way.
Yeah. Let's see how the numbers look week two. Because that's going to be interesting, because now that the controversy has kind of heightened over the movie, even the, you know, and especially with the movie doing so well, you know, because they're already predicting that they're going to make, you know, more money than it costs to do the film. You know, they're already predicting it. So let's see what happens. And kudos to the director, you know, that did the movie. Is this her first movie, or?
So I'm not sure. I had never heard that name, and I just noted the name to bring it up here, but I have not ever looked it up before.
Okay. All right. Well, Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm a person that religiously likes to go to Rotten Tomato about movies and so forth. You can't get much of a better score than what they gave. I mean, right. You know, so according to them, it's a movie worth seeing. And I do plan on watching the movie at some point myself. So, yeah. So,
all right. Well, you better hurry up and watch it early so she can get some of these box office numbers.
Yeah. Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, definitely. So, okay. All right. Well, way to go, The Woman King. That's our review. We're Siskel and Ebert. Thank you for joining in. You know, so you're listening to News and Trends with Dave and Len. Thank you for tuning in. Always, we always appreciate you guys when you guys tune in and to stay with us. And what are we moving on to next, Leonard?
Yep. So next we have John Boyega. You know, a statement that he made recently. He was on a red carpet. And so this is the backstory, Dave. This is something I just heard today. So he's on a red carpet. Red carpet is full of white reporters, you know, asking him questions. And his publicist grabs two black reporters. So I think we're at kind of, you know, at the end of the red carpet. And, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, the people at the end of the red carpet get the least attention because, you know, by the time the celebrities start at the beginning, they don't always make it to the end. So his publicist grabbed two black reporters on purpose or journalists on purpose so that they could get interviews with them. Anyone who doesn't know, John Boyega is very big on black love, like, you know, black women, dark skinned black women. So anyway, so with that said, of course, this is and Dave, I'm just going to play a snippet. Have you heard his what he said?
No.
Okay, so I'm just gonna play a snippet of it, just so you can hear what he had to say, and then we'll talk about some of the backlash he's been getting.
Oh yeah. Let me tell you something. On this film, melanin levels had to be over 85%. I mean, this is not just black women; this dark-skinned black women who haven't had the opportunity to do this, being given the main center stage, and for me, that's something special. I came from a black woman. So for me to see a project that highlights black women in this way, but also highlights black women with talent, the actual skills and ability to do this, is something special. And I can only say it's promising for the rest of the industry in the future. Oh yeah. Let me tell you something.
So, you know, of course he's talking about his love for black women. He's also appreciating. And Dave, to be honest, I'm not sure what film he's talking about. But
I think it's The Woman King.
Was it The Woman King?
I think it is.
I'm trying to look at the billboard behind
him. I thought he was in it.
Okay, well, I'll take a look while we're doing that. But, you know, over the years, he's gotten a lot of flack for professing his love for black women, you know, which is, you know, kind of weird. And, of course, you know, this flack and criticism is not coming from black people, of course, coming from white people. So, but, I mean, everywhere he goes, if someone talks about him dating, relationships, you know, anything, like he, you know, he's never shied away from saying, you know, black women, black love, black women. So,
and that's interesting to hear a person like him say that, since he's not, you know, Native American, and let me correct that. I should have said Native American. He's not
a Native American. Oh yeah, okay, it does sound that way, huh?
Yeah. So he's not from America. But that's good that he's saying it. But, you know, to get backlash because he said it, because is that, are you saying because he's talking about it that he's excluding women of other colors? Not necessarily. It's just the fact that he just wants to make sure that he is talking about who he wants to talk about. And as you can see, yeah, he is in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm sure that what he was talking about was The Woman King when he was talking just
now. Yeah, I'm sure. It looks like they got a lot of dark-skinned black women in here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so, you know, we have been, what's the word I want to say? I'm gonna make up a word like some other. I don't think it's an actual word. Decolorize, you know.
Okay,
I don't.
Okay, we'll give that to you.
Yeah, I think we have, you know, over the years, we have been told that black women that are on TV or in movies, excuse me, had to look a certain way. The first black woman to ever have a starring role in a TV show was Diane Carroll and Julia. And they made sure she wasn't too dark. She wasn't too light. She was just perfect in color. And she had the perfect demeanor. Would that fly? Would that show fly now? More likely, no, because we are dealing with a whole different group of Black women now who, you know, are of all different melanin tones and attitudes, you know, because she was not that attitude person back in the day, you know, but most of the women you see on TV now have those type of, you know, characters or whatever the case may be. In this movie, you know, you know when you look at the cast, there's quite a few darker skinned women, but there's a good mix of different hues or skin tones for all the women that's on the show. I mean, in the movie, you know. Now he's professing his love for Black women, and it shouldn't be a problem to hear say that, even though, you know, we got a lot of Black male actors that probably would not say that in public, you know. You know, we have some men actors who, you know, always talking about Black this, Black that, but yet, you know, when you see him out with somebody, it's not necessarily Black this, Black that,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You know, and one person comes to mind all the time. I won't say his name, but you know,
well, they go ahead, call him out.
Yeah, who you think I'm talking about?
Really?
Yeah, go ahead. Who you think I'm talking about?
Well, Dave, go ahead. Say who you're saying, because now you're trying to have me list about five or six actors I think fit in that.
I want to see if it comes out on the first name you say. Who's somebody that you always seen? He's had his own TV show, and you know, he always seen, like, you know, he's pro
Jamie Foxx.
There you go. That's it's always going to be the first one to come out.
Yeah.
You know, it's always going to be the first one to come out.
He stole Tom Cruise's girl. Like, that's crazy. Yeah,
that was his boy. And you know, that was his boy.
I know. Yeah. Was
when he met Kate Hudson, it was on. They were all out to dinner at sitting together at dinner. You know, so it's, you know, when you think about these type of things and you hear a John Boyega talk like that, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's something
I agree.
I think it's something that, you know, and this should be done with any race that you might be. If you believe that, you know, you come from a race of beautiful women or beautiful people, period, there's nothing wrong with saying that. I don't have a problem with hearing what he had to say, you know. So the people that do have a problem with it, that's because they're shallow, you know. Mm-hmm. Believe me. I could take this another way, but, you know, we're in an election. You know, we're going to have a pretty important election for a lot of the states across the country. And, you know, we got a lot of people that look like us that are playing house, I call it, with the Republicans, you know, and a lot of them. I want to say lost their way, but you know, have you seen the whole thing of the controversy around a Herschel Walker?
I have. Yes.
Doesn't it look like he's just being used as a token?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to be honest, anytime he opens his mouth, it's just like, y'all really voted him up this high?
Yeah. And it's all done to try to block Lance Bottom from winning the becoming governor there, you know? That's what that is. And it's, you know, trying to get Warnock out of his position and all of that stuff. It's just, the whole thing is crazy. So anytime we are saying something positive about our race, I'm all for it. I'm with it, you know? Because we got too many clowns out here in our race that are just lost. I mean, like Herschel Walker, great football player, but won't be a great politician. You know, so, you know, maybe he should go back to, you know, doing football again. But that's a whole story.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that's, my hat's off to Mr. Boyega. Way to go, sir. Way to go. All right. Let's go on to our favorite pastor. You know, this dude does love being in the news, man. Matter of fact, I don't know if everybody has seen, but we're getting ready to talk about our favorite Brooklyn pastor, Bishop Lamour Whitehead. This bishop, man, I don't know. I'm beginning to think that he's staging stuff. You know what I mean? How could a person
or he's just one of those people who always get in trouble. Like, there's always a controversy around him. Can't stay out the news.
Can't stay out the news. Can't get right. That's what they call it. Can't get right. You know? So, you know, it's, you know, a couple months ago, dude, these robbers walk into his church, steal over $1 million in jewelry from him. First of all, $1 million in jewelry? Why? Why do you have $1 million in jewelry? You know? So now this dude, I don't know if people have heard this clip or seen this clip of him up there. You saw the clip, right?
Yeah, I did.
I had to admit, I cracked up when I first saw it. I was just like, is this for real? Is this really for real? It kind of reminded me of an old Living Color skit. You know, in Living Color skit with David Alan Greer. But, you know, this guy's up there. He's standing up there. He's preaching. And, you know, you hear somebody in the background heckling him, you know, saying some stuff in the background. All of a sudden, you see this woman start walking towards the front. This dude stops what he's doing, walks over to the woman, and begins choking her and pushing her out of the, you know, he pushes her off camera. But he starts choking, literally choking her. It was the craziest thing I ever seen. And, you know, first I thought it was one of those moments, because when I first saw it, I thought it was one of those moments where he was great, said, you know,
how you have been healed.
Yeah. Healer, you know, that type of thing. But it wasn't one of those moments. And then when he comes back, you see him talking and he's preaching and he's trying to, he said, you know, nobody attacks my wife. Nobody attacks my family, you know, and so forth. And this woman is just walking. She clearly is just walking in a certain, like, she's walking in this direction now. They're saying that's where his family was, his wife and his daughter was. But he said that the woman was getting ready to attack his family. And it didn't look like that. It was the intention. She was talking as she was going that way, but it didn't look like she was going to hurt anybody. And for him to take her out the way that he did, and he gets up there and he's trying to get the church. Did you hear him trying to get the church to say amen and everything? And nobody, you know, the people are just like stunned about what happened. He ended up, you know, he ended up getting arrested. They detained him for like 2 hours, but they didn't charge him with anything, you know. But this dude, man, just loves controversy. What is it with these pastors? See, like, every time we turn around, we got a story about a pastor losing their mind. What is going on?
I don't know. You know, I feel like everybody wants to be a household name. And, you know, of course, I think the whole pastor thing is always hard, because when we think of a lot of pastors nowadays, especially the flashy ones, we always think that, you know, they're doing something wrong. They're taking church money, that, you know, something like that. But I mean, he clearly likes being in the spotlight. He wants to be in the spotlight. I would not be surprised, between this incident, the robbery, you know, his following has probably gone up. His live streams have probably gone, because, you know, people watch it. They want to see what's going to happen next. So, but, you know, it's funny. I was listening to Steve Harvey in the morning show yesterday, and they were talking about this same incident, and Steve was saying something similar to, he, I guess, you know, the bishop had a an interview somewhere, and he was saying that he felt this lady was about to attack his, like, his wife and daughter. And Steve was saying he could kind of see how that is, because, you know, when you're a celebrity, you never know. But they, when I looked at her, she looked like she was just somebody who was in the spirit, who was about to do taking some laps around the church. Like, that was what came to my mind. You know, she was just taking her, you know, her praise walk around the church.
Yeah, it didn't look like she was going to hurt anybody. I didn't see any ill will or anything heading their way. But for them to react the way that they did, I just thought it was crazy. And, you know, this dude, you know, he wants to be like one of these big time pastors. Mm-hmm. So,
like a Jamal Bryant.
Or
Dollar.
Yeah. Or, you know, like Bishop Eddie Long was, you mm-hmm. know? I don't know. This dude going to end up in, you know, he might as well be a rapper. I hope he don't go to L.A. anytime soon, because we know they hunting rappers out there. So, but, you know, this dude, man, you know, he just can't stay out the news. And of course, with him doing something like that, I'm wondering what kind of negative attention that, you know, he's brought to himself. And he probably going to need a bodyguard pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Especially if he's still flashy like that.
Yeah. And
no doubt about it.
Yeah. So, you know, Bishop Whitehead, you need Jesus, bro. You need Jesus. You know, I'm just saying, you know. So,
well, in fact, Dave, so at your church.
Uh-oh, here we go.
If there was a lady, well, hold on. Do you think your pastor would ever do anything like this?
Oh, no. No. But I think my pastor would probably just say to the lady, if the lady was being disruptive, like right. he's trying to was, he would probably try to have a conversation with her or address one of the deacons or somebody to, you know, probably the leader on our other side there and talk to her to find out what was going on with her.
Right.
You know, but no way would he try to handle it himself like this dude did, you know. You know, there's a certain decorum that pastors are supposed to have. I mean, this dude is all over the place. Even then listening to what he was doing and trying to make himself look like he was right, you know, when he was clearly wrong. You can't do that, and especially nowadays, and especially when the world's watching, because right now, everything you do, the world is watching.
Yeah, definitely. And he's live on live stream, so it's not like, you know, okay, is this going to get out? Is anybody going to see? But, you know, I'll tell you, it's funny, when I saw it, you know how you see stuff and you have a voice in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Every time he did it, in my head, it just said, get your ass out. like that was just like what it made me think of, the way he like just took her by the back of the head.
Yeah. He was, you know, he tried to go gangster with it. And why put his hand, and first of all, and he put his hands on a woman.
Right.
We can't lose the fact that happened. He assaulted a woman. Okay. That was wrong in itself, you know. So if he's doing that to a woman that he doesn't know, unless he does know her, that's a whole nother scenario right mm-hmm. there, you know. But I wonder what goes on in this house, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we can already guess.
Yeah. So, well, we'll wait for the bishop to do some other foolishness and see what happens. Okay. Hopefully he keeps his hands to himself, though, because if that was somebody's mama, somebody's aunt, somebody's grandmother, he's probably going to hear from some people. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. You are listening to News and Trends with Dave and Len. Thank you for tuning in. You know, we're going to move on to our next story, which is what, Leonard?
So our next story, we are talking about Black Twitter, just like we were talking about before, Dave, being torn over a woman creating a majorette team at her PWI or... Dave, I can't even remember what the P stand for. I'm so HBCU right now.
Predominantly white.
Yeah, predominantly white. Predominantly white institution. Yeah. So for anyone who's not familiar, and this will just be my definition because I'm not going to look it up, and this is what I think it is. So when I was at FAMU, you know, of course, the band, when it was not halftime, the band would be in the stadium on the bleachers, and they would kind of be playing from the bleachers. At the bottom of the bleachers was kind of like a dance team. And when the band played, they would be dancing, you know, they had some routines for the different songs that the band played. Of course, when the band went on the field, a lot of times they'd be on the field, on the sidelines, of course, not to be confused with the cheerleaders. All right, so case in point, there's a young lady, Black lady at USC, University of Southern California, and she created a majorette team at USC, which, of course, is a PWI. Now, right. Initially, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. You know, of course, she likes to dance. She found some other people who will kind of dance with the band at the football games. But Black Twitter is going crazy over, and Dave and I were talking about it before. So a lot of people feel like if she was so enthused to create this dance team to have that Black experience, then she just should have gone to a Black school. And Dave, I just want to read some of the comments that, you know, I saw people put up, which to me was just kind of shocking because I didn't know people were, you know, so opposed to it. But a lot of people said that she wishes she went to HBCU. She probably couldn't get into an HBCU, which, really is neither here nor there. A lot of people feel like they're conflicted because, you know, there's certain things that at HBCUs that people who are HBCU alumni, you know, kind of covet. And a lot of people covet the marching bands and, you know, kind of like the dance teams with them. Let me see what else people are saying. So, I mean, but for the most part, people are just saying that, you know, she should have just gone HBCU. Like, this is something, this is our HBCU culture. Why is she exposing it to people who are not of, you know, HBCU origin or interest? So how do you feel about it, Dave?
Well, I mean, I actually don't have an issue with this. I my hat's off to her. Maybe for some reason or another, she didn't go to I can't even get it out, right? Historically Black college. Okay, I don't say that. Or university. Maybe she wanted to go, but maybe, you know, maybe it was something that her parents or her parent may not have wanted her to do. Maybe she didn't have a choice in the matter of where she ended up in school. There's a number of things that could have happened that led to her decision to be where she is. But she wanted to, maybe deep down in her heart, she really wanted to experience, have that Black experience even where she is now. It's just like when you go to a white school and you, one of the first things you want to find out is if they have Black, any of the Black Greeks on campus, mm-hmm.
You know? Right.
Because, you know, that's something that helps you to feel better about where you are as opposed to where you're not. Because you want that. You want to experience that. Like, even if you don't pledge, you want to know that you have the opportunity to see one of these fraternities or sororities on campus and know that you have some Blackness there with you or have some, you know, history and origins and so forth that has to do with Black college life on campus with you. That was one of the things that I look forward to when I went to the school that I chose to go to, because, you know, that made you feel more comfortable with being there. If you didn't just imagine if you went to an all predominantly white school and you didn't have any representation of Blackness there with you, then you're not going to do that well if you're a person that used to having some of that around you or want to experience that, you know? And that's all I think was going on with this young lady, is that she wanted to still be able to feel that whole experience of going to a historically Black college or university and not have to actually physically be on that campus and so forth and so forth. I'm sure it was a popular thing. I'm sure that the fact that she was able to pull it off meant that people really enjoyed what she was doing. When you look at the football team and the basketball team, they're predominantly Black players, you know. So even with the female athletics, they have a lot of Black players in basketball and volleyball and so forth. So when you look at those types of situations, you know, she's just looking for representation at a big school that's predominantly white. That's all it is. I mean, you know, yeah, you can get on her for not going to an HBCU, but it's still not necessarily a drawback that she, you know, that she didn't go there. She's just trying to fit in. That's all she's trying to do.
Yeah, and you know, I can agree with that, because maybe not where we are so much, but some of the high schools that are in like very heavily populated Black cities, you know, a lot of their bands will be similar to a lot of these HBCU bands. And a lot of their dancers will be like their majorettes will be similar to a lot of HBCU majorettes, because that's who they match and model after. So I can imagine a young lady going to an all Black high school or predominantly Black high school that modeled themselves after an HBCU band. And then, you know, for whatever reason, she goes to a PWI and she wants to kind of create that same experience. You know, she's been dancing all her life. And, you know, let's say the majorette type of dance, HBCU, that band sound, you know, I could definitely see her, you know, wanting to form what she's used to where she's at.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you know, you figure. Let me tell you, man, when I was in high school, the high school I went to, we had the baddest marching band in the land. I mean, you know, it looked like that. Keep in mind, this is going back to the 70s, and that stuff that you see at the HBCUs, the schools and everything, the one you went to and all of these schools, when you look at that and you look at that situation, at what was going on at the, you know, when they're at the half times and when the bands are playing, my high school, we were doing all of that, you know, at the football games and everything. You know, it was a Black, predominantly Black school.
Okay. Yeah. AI DuPont. Okay.
No, not AI.
I'm just joking.
All right. PS DuPont. But yeah, with all of that being said, you know, we remember the parades and so forth. When the parades would start, when we would have the parades, and it was always a big thing for the parades because, you know, all the best bands would be there, marching bands would be there. Nobody wanted to follow our high school band because they would shut down the parade every year. It was, you know, anybody, you have relatives that went to PS, you ask your relatives about the PS marching band from back during those days, and they would tell you, if you got the lineup for the bands and your band, and you found out that like Howard or AI. Well, AI always had a great band. I will say AI had a really good band always. But when you found out that you were going to follow P.S. DuPont, everybody would be so depressed. Oh man, we don't want to follow them. Everybody going to leave after they're done because that's who everybody's here to see. But that's the way it was. That's all this girl is trying to do, is trying to take it back to the stuff that she probably remembers watching on TV when she grew up, all of that type of stuff. That's what I think she's trying to do.
True, true, true.
Yeah. So, so my hat's off to you.
I'm about to say you're not gonna have too many hats. You're gonna give them off to Asia, the black director. How many more hats you got?
I got a few more, you know. Okay. So, yeah, you should give her a call. Let her tell her a story. Try to see, reach out to her on social media.
In fact, let me see. What information do we have for? All right. In fact, I'll have to go back to that page and look. I think it was via Twitter.
Okay. Yeah. See if you can reach out to her. Have her come on and tell her a story. Okay.
All right. We'll do. I'm on it.
All right. All right. Okay. That's your assignment. Don't let it self-destruct before you get it done.
So. Never.
All right. And okay. Well, that brings us to my favorite spot. Okay. Dave's Corner. Okay. You know, for those that don't know what Dave's Corner is, this is where, you know, I ask a philosophical question to my to the public, listening public, and also to my partner here, and trying to see how what people would say or how people would react or how they would answer this question. So today's question has to do with this. Has the art of talking to someone all but gone away? What do I mean there? Okay. We're in a society now that there's less and less talking being done amongst each other. Whether it's friends, whether it's family, whether it's loved ones, spouses, you know, for some reason, we have lost the art of actually having dialogue and communication with each other. Everything has to be done via text, email, you know, some type of messaging post, you know, DMing, you know, everything has to be done according to, you know, some type of social media way. So when people actually try to have a conversation with each other, it's hard to do anymore because people don't know what to talk to each other about face to face or over the phone. And well, how many times do you actually get a call from somebody that says, "Hey, I just want to talk to you, see how you're doing."
Are you asking me?
Yeah, that's a question. How often do you get a call like that?
So not too often, because for anyone who knows me knows I'm not a great return caller, return texter. So
this is so true.
Yeah, I know. Dave, I try. But
did I say horrible, folks? I just wanted to make sure. Okay, go ahead. All right.
But you know, I didn't. Well, I'll leave that alone. But you know, I think we live in a society now where everything is so busy that, you know, I think that we do what's easiest. So, and you know, I just speak for me personally. If somebody calls me and I don't feel like talking, I can text them and say, "Hey, what's up? You know, what do you want?" You know, so I mean, I feel like it's easy to avoid conversation. And it's, I mean, well, let me ask this, Dave. If we are connected on social media and I see everything you do, Does that cause me to talk to you less or talk to you more? You know, because, you know, I think one of the benefits of talking to people in the past was to find out what's going on, you know, how they doing. But if I see what's going on social media and I, you know, I hear, you know, what you're saying in your videos, I may not feel the urge to talk to you as much because I already know what's going on.
Okay. I get that. That's a good one. That makes a lot of sense.
But go ahead.
Of course, this is a different day and time because back in the day, you didn't have social media to help to keep a person informed on what was going on with the person that they wanted to talk to or whatever the case may be. So you had to actually have a conversation with that person in order to know, or write a letter. Believe it or not, people wrote letters and communicated that way as well. Nowadays, yes, I agree with what you're saying in reference to shooting someone, you know, an email or shooting somebody a text message or a DM or instant message or whatever the case may be, and just say simple, hey, how you doing? You know, thinking about you. Hope everything's well. Keep it moving. That type of thing. All right. But I love the people who prefer to talk via text messaging or somewhere, you know, one of the, or email or whatever the case may be. And they prefer to do it that way. But yet, they will go on and on texting you. You know, you might answer, oh, I'm good. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. And then they go into a long dissertation in reference to what's going on with them and all of this stuff. By the time you get finished, you didn't have an hour conversation via text when it could have probably been a lot quicker just making a phone call and just talking verbally and be able to get to the root of everything that, you know, the texting. And who feels like texting all that? You know, I love when I send, you know, I know some people will get upset sometime with me because I try to be straight and to the point. If somebody texts me a whole bunch of stuff and I read it and I say, okay, I'm going to respond with a few short lines, you know, but I'm going to cover everything that I need to cover, you know. And some people get upset when you do that. You know that, right? Because they want you to address, want you to take the time to text them as much as they text you. Well, then I'll pick up a phone, call that person, and can't get them on the phone. You know, and I just think, Leonard, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but anyway, so some people just don't want to talk to people anymore. You know, it's hard for people to talk to people because they don't necessarily have a dialogue. You ever watch your kids? Because I've watched my kids do it in the past. You'd be sitting there, everybody sitting in the same room. Of course, everybody's on their electronic devices. And all of a sudden, you'll see one of them start falling out laughing. And then the other one will laugh. And then you say, well, what are y'all laughing about? Oh, he just told me a joke. Never opened their mouth, but it was a text joke. Mm-hmm. You know, they text them, you know, or they just sent something funny. You know, people just don't talk to each other anymore. And it's really getting scary because we're going to be in a world where nobody, you know, nobody really knows how to communicate. You know, I was in a meeting today with a couple people, and one of the themes was communication in the meeting about the lack of communication and how that has to happen in order for things to run smoothly. When you're in an office full of people and people aren't talking to each other, things are not going to get done in the way they're supposed to get done. You got to be able to talk to each other. I get it. People just don't have that type of personality, especially young people. Young people don't want to talk to people.
Sound about right.
Yeah, especially their parents. They don't want to have conversations with their parents or whatever. They'd rather be on their phones having conversation with the world, you know. And it's really a shame where we are in life right now because of it. It's really interesting how we've lost the art of communication.
You know, I think some of it, to be honest, is just evolution. So, like, I always think about growing up, my grandparents were the type to write letters. You know, like, you know, they write letters to everybody. And then as time went on, you know, when I'm growing up as well, you know, since electronic communication, social media wasn't there, you actually had to get in a car and go visit somebody. Like, if you want to, like, hear from your aunt, uncle, cousins, like, you get in a car and go see them. Then when cell phones probably came out, you know, okay, we're seeing people less because we can talk to them more. And now the social media, we're seeing and talking to people less because we already know what they're doing. Like, you know, I can, you know, back in the day when you checked on your grandma, you know, you probably had to go over to her house. Nowadays, when you check on grandma, you send her a DM. Everything okay? You good?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. You know, so soon in the future, especially when we get into the meta world and all these, when you check on grandma, you're going to send her like a brain wave. And, like, you know, that brain wave is going to travel across the metaverse and, you know, hit her. And she probably going to respond to it.
Yeah, more likely. Yeah. The grandmas of today aren't like the grandmas of before. They know they have to learn these things. I talked to a woman today on the phone. She was 69, and she was telling me how she had to learn. She said, you know, her children stopped helping her with everything that came to electronic devices because she would have them do everything, and she didn't want to learn how to do it and so forth. Mm-hmm. So her children got mad and said, hey, look, we're going to teach you how to do this, and you're going to have to learn how to do this. So she had to learn how to text. She had to learn how to do email. She had to learn how to go to, you know, set up accounts on, you know, the social media pages and so forth if she wanted to be able to do the things that she necessarily wanted to do. And they forced her hand. She was glad that they did it, but she said, but so many of her friends that she are, you know, close friends with and so forth still don't do it. And she tries to tell them, hey, look, this is the way of the world. Whether you want to do it, this is where we are. This is the world we're in. You know, we're in the Jetsons time frame now. You know, we actually got there. We're just not with the flying cars yet, but we close to it, you know. So be definitely interested in hearing what people have to say about that. And, you know, tell us what goes on in your household and how do you communicate? Do you feel that nonverbal communication is the best way to do it as far as using electronics and so forth, or verbal communication is still the best way for you? Be curious to hear what you would have to say about that. So, but I guess do you have any more comments on that?
Nah, that's about it.
Okay.
Dave, I'm gonna try to get better, but don't expect no immediate miracles, okay?
Oh yeah. Well, don't worry. I know who I'm dealing with, so I'm good. So well, folks, I think we covered everything and we have gotten to the end of the show. So keep in mind, get those videos together, those testimonial videos together, telling them how great Dave and Len's show is and News and Trends and what Dave and Len is. And so we can find out who we're going to pick to come on our show and hang out with us for our anniversary show, our 1 year anniversary. Man, I can't believe that it's almost been a year already.
You know, we've done about 110 episodes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, a little over 100.
Yeah, that's crazy. And here it is, you know. Yeah, by the way, you know, this, I think this is the first week of fall at the end of the week, right?
Yeah, is it September 21st? Yeah, so I guess tomorrow's.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I just thought about that. Yeah. Wow, summer, where'd you go? Gosh. But anyway, but yeah, yeah, so get those videos into us, you know, reach out to us, you know, DM us, message us, go to our pages. Well, you can't send a video to Instagram, but
they can send to the DM.
You could just send it as a DM. News and Trends podcast on Instagram, also News and Trends podcast on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
You can reach out to us, you know, on the DMs or whatever, or for those of you that actually have our numbers and want to text us your videos and so forth, you can do that as well. Okay. But we look forward to getting them, and let's see who we're going to have on our show. Okay. We look forward to that. So with that being said, stay tuned for our Friday weekend roundup, at 6 o'clock on Friday. And we look forward to speaking with you then. Okay. So have a great night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.